We've been talking over recent Sunday evenings about the Christian at work and conclude this evening with the issue of meaningfulness at work. There are various estimates to the number of waking hours in a lifetime that are spent in relationship to employment, and they range upward to 60%, saying that 60% of the time that we're awake in our adult lives, we are actually somewhere involved in our employment. If that's true, then meaningfulness at work has a good shot from a majority percentage of being meaningfulness in life. Or the other side of it is, if we have lacked meaningfulness in work, then typically we're going to have a lack of meaningfulness in life. The question is, what makes for meaning in the job that we have? Typically, people give answers like, well, it depends on whether or not you like your job. There's been an interesting change in that in surveys that are taken, because there's a rising percentage of people who are very pleased with their job and have a relatively high level of satisfaction, something that's a significant change from as recently as 20 or even 10 years ago. So whether or not someone likes the job, whether or not we do it well, in other words, the quality of work that we put in has something to do with the meaning that we get back out, the amount of pay that we have, and the perks, the perquisites of benefits and other things. Although, as indicated in a study that we talked about on another Sunday night, often those benefits, if they're not right, cause dissatisfaction, but if they are right, don't necessarily mean that a person is satisfied. The question is, and I think a particularly important Christian question, is it possible to have a sense of meaning at work that is independent of what we do, or independent of how much we are paid, or independent of the health insurance benefits that we have or the retirement provisions that are made for us? And the answer biblically has to be yes. That we are not necessarily tied to the specific job or the specific pay or the specific benefits. And the question is, where would be a good place to begin? Would it be to imagine a job where she has everything she wants, is totally satisfied, it is an absolutely perfect fit, the pay is terrific and everything is going wonderfully well? Or would it be better to come up with some type of a model where he really is not doing what he would choose to do? He's not being paid what he thinks he ought to be paid, and the benefits may be poor indeed. And if we choose that model, and a person can find meaning in that, then it seems to be a safe guess that it's possible also for someone to equally find meaning when all of the circumstances are far more positive. Well, I invite you this evening to Colossians chapter 3, and take a look in your own Bibles. Seniors, this is your first shot at using the Bibles that you've just been given. Colossians 3, verses 23 to 25, tell how to make work meaningful in the worst of circumstances, because these words are written to slaves. Slaves in the Roman Empire, slaves who were under Roman law and were in the Greek city of Colossae. Slaves who had no choice about what they would do, slaves who received no pay, slaves who had no prestige normally in what was their employment, and slaves that would never retire. I mean, who's ever heard of a retired slave? It just doesn't go together. Now, we have to be careful that we don't have quite the inappropriate understanding of what slavery then was. Typically, slaves were those who had been taken captive in the acquisition assaults of the Roman Empire and the Roman armies. Many times, the slaves who were brought back to the Greek and Roman cities were highly intelligent, very sophisticated, well-educated, upper-class people who often had a lot more going for them than the masters to whom they were sold and assigned. So they were people who had had important positions from the place where they had previously lived. And yet, they were considered to be property, the property of others. And under Roman law, it was forbidden for a slave to own any property at all. And an astonishing thing happened. Many of these slaves became Christians. In fact, many of these slaves became the witnesses and agents of Jesus Christ to win their masters, their lords, to the Savior as well. Paul writes to them, telling them how to make their work and their lives meaningful under what I would consider to be about as bad a set of circumstances as anyone could have. The advice that is given is simple, and it's doable. Colossians 3, verses 23 to 25. Let's start in verse 22. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you and to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for his wrong, and there is no favoritism. 3 points are made by the apostle in the meaning of work for the slave, and I think for us all. The first is to make work meaningful, is to work well, to do what the boss says, in this case, the slave master. To do a good job, even when no one's looking, and even when no one will ever find out. That is so contrary to what is a popular and common notion, that you ought to do a good job because you're going to get a good review. You ought to do a good job because that's going to impress people. But the scripture is here saying, do a good job even if no one ever finds out about it. Do a good job because that's your commitment to the Lord. Do it out of sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. The Scottish theologian and writer William Barclay says, Christianity never in this world offers escape from hard work. It makes a man able to work harder still. Nor does it offer a man escape from difficult situations. It enables him to meet those situations better. Barclay also goes on to tell the story, an interesting one, of a man in the United Kingdom who decided that he was going to buy a house, and so he went through the typical procedures that any of us would go through if we were going to buy a house. You figure out how much it's going to cost and the basic area where you want it to be. Except he did a very risky thing. He ended up buying the house sight unseen. Actually went to the closing and consummated the deal and never once visited the house. And when someone asked him why he took such a risk, he responded by saying, I know the man who built that house, and he builds his Christianity in with his bricks. You see, here was a builder who did his work well because he was a Christian, because he believed that he was serving Jesus Christ. And so to make work meaningful, work well, whatever the job is, whether it's building a house or being a slave or some position that we might choose for ourselves. The second point the apostle makes is to make work meaningful is to work for the Lord. And the powerful point of verses 22, 23, 24, is that Jesus Christ is the boss. He writes, working for the Lord, not for men, and says, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. Now, I don't know if we can be routine enough to actually say this and do it, but if I read Scripture correctly, it's beginning every day and going to every assignment saying, I serve the Lord Christ. I go not to work for this company or for that person. It's not because of this supervisor or any other individual. I go to serve the Lord Christ. And when partway through the day and when the tedium comes in or when it's a difficult circumstance or when enjoying it absolutely fully, it's the reminder, I work for the Lord Christ. When the boss chews somebody out, the response is, at least inside, I work for the Lord Christ. And when the praise rolls in, for employment well done, there is the whisper in the back of one's own mind that says, I do this for the Lord Christ, which totally then changes our perspective and our relationship. It means that we're most concerned not about getting a great annual review or a solid salary, because a great annual review and a solid salary just isn't enough when you're serving the Lord Christ. It also means that we can put up with a lot of harassment and abuse and even certain types of absolute injustice, and still hang in there and find satisfaction with the conviction that under those negative circumstances, we are faithfully serving the Lord Christ. And that becomes then a cumulative thing. Every day, every job, we work for the Lord Christ as our boss. He comes around to a third point. And he tells us that to make work meaningful, we as Christians work for a different kind of remuneration. We work for the ultimate pay. Now, if we were to take a quick survey here and ask how long a paycheck lasts, we would come up with a lot of short numbers, small numbers, because it seems that no matter what the size of the paycheck, it has an uncanny ability to quickly run out. In fact, there are many Americans whose paychecks run out, you know, even before they're issued. So it doesn't last long at all, which makes verses 24 and 25 so powerful. You know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. Think of a slave hearing that. A slave who owns nothing, who cannot legally ever own anything, and has no inheritance whatsoever. You know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for his wrong, and there is no favoritism. That God will justly and rightly reward. That was fabulous news for a slave. That someday he would get a whopping big inheritance that would come from God himself, and that that would make up for all the loss of back pay. Plus, God promises to make right every wrong that's been suffered. I remember some years ago having a job that wasn't one of the favorite jobs that I had, and it was one of those few jobs in my life where I've actually been paid in cash. I was paid 85 cents an hour. It was back in '03, and with the money that was taken out, you know, there wasn't a whole lot left. I would get about $32 at the end of the week, and I remember, you know, going through the week and then going up to the pay office and getting that pay envelope, not a paycheck, and how often that was the marker by which the rest of the week was measured. You see, there's a sense in which that is what the scripture is here saying to the slave. Although the marker may be far off, it is one that is visible, and it is the assured inheritance that comes from God himself that he will measure in the proportions of heaven and eternity, and the wealth will be extraordinary, far better than anything that could be ever written into any paycheck or placed into any pay envelope. People wait the week out to get the money at the end. Well, it is here that God promises that there will be an eternal pay, an inheritance that lasts forever. And it is that that keeps a discouraged worker going. Now, what I invite you to do as we conclude our series is to take these principles, and if you haven't done it already, apply it to the job that you have or the job that you're going into. The job at home or the job at the factory or the job in the office or the job on the road. And put it all together and say, if it's going to have meaning, may it have meaning not just in the ordinary secular terms, but meaning because I do the job well for God. Meaning, genuine meaning, because I work for the Lord Christ. And meaning, because I am guaranteed the ultimate pay. So that in every place, every job, we see that, first of all, before anything else, we are Christians. And that is what makes all the difference in that we work well for the Lord. And that we will receive the ultimate pay. Let's stand and pray together. Our Father, there's an exciting dimension to taking all of us as disciples of Jesus Christ and sending us out of this place on this day into the workplace tomorrow. Some into jobs that are fun for every hour of every workday, and others that have drudgery, and others that are in between. But in every case, may we go to serve the Lord Christ. May we be your ambassadors in high places and low places, in wonderful pay and in unfortunately low pay, with harassment or with elevation, whatever the circumstance. May we do our work well for you. May we build in our Christianity with the bricks that we lay. May we represent Jesus Christ in a way that delights your heart. So, Lord, we go to serve our Christ. In his name, amen.